Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase in the studio. Today is Monday, July 30th. Happy to be back on the show, continuing our training camp coverage of the Eagles. We're officially into week two now of Eagles training camp. They are off on a rest day today, so no practice for the players at the NovaCare Complex. But tomorrow is a big day for the Philadelphia Eagles because the pads, although they've already gone on, it's hitting time. There's going to be live tackling at tomorrow's practice, so there's going to be a lot of big takeaways from practice tomorrow because, you know, the Eagles have had, I think it was the practice, yeah, so they practiced Thursday through Saturday, so they've already had three practices that we can digest and analyze. There's some interesting pieces from each practice, but tomorrow the Eagles finally start hitting, and that's really when you see players stand out in training camp because, you know, it's training camp and preseason, live action. How do you respond when you're getting hit and when there's more physical contact? That's when you want to see receivers get open. How do corners do in coverage? You know, Josh Sweat might be able to bend around, you know, Matt Pryor on a one-on-one drill in shells, but once the pads truly come on and there's actual contact, you know, can his counter moves work? This is really when you get the best out of players, and this is when jobs are won, is right now, and it starts tomorrow at Eagles training camp with live hitting going on. Today on the podcast, we are going to be doing stock up, stock down for the first week of practice for the Eagles. So each week, we're going to do this every Monday on the show where we give four players that their stock has risen because of that week of practice or their stock has decreased and they could be on the verge, because remember, a lot of these guys are still in the roster bubble. The Eagles are pretty set when it comes to their starting lineups, but there is a lot of competition right now for those second and third spots at a lot of positions, you know, the second, third string, and just making that 53-man roster. You know, maybe you're Jeremy Reeves trying to convince the Eagles that you are a reason to keep, you're not just competing with safeties, but maybe I'm the reason you should keep a fifth safety on this roster instead of keeping a fourth or fifth running back. You know, it's just you're competing with everyone still, even not just your position, but also other players around you that are also fighting for a spot. So today is the stock up, stock down edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. But before we get really deep into it, I want to talk to you guys about Nordic Track. Sometimes it's hard to find time for the gym. I know, especially with two separate jobs. I'm in school right now. I'm doing the Locked On Eagles podcast network. I have a girlfriend. I'd like to have a social life. So getting to the gym and staying in shape is extremely difficult sometimes with busy schedules. It's just the way society works right now is, you know, people are on the run constantly. And this is why I think you're going to want to check out Nordic Track. Nordic Track is a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts and the convenience of staying right at home so you don't have to worry about travel time, getting to the gym, you know, all that stuff. When you want to just exercise, right here with Nordic Track, you can stay right home and do it. The equipment includes a treadmill, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength equipment. You can be a part of these high-energy workouts anytime you want without even stepping out of your front door, which is a huge part of this. A really cool part of this, too, are the streamed workouts around the world. This is an awesome feature. Start off your day running around the streets of Paris and end it working out on the African safari. It's a super cool feature to Nordic Track, and workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to make sure you meet your goals. The news gets better. We have a special offer for Locked On Eagles listeners, so you're privileged right now. You're going to get $75 off your first Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockdown. Again, so you're going to get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com. That's N-O-R-D-I-C track, T-R-A-C-K.com/lockdown. And using the offer code LOCKDOWN. There's no caps there, no spaces, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. So again, $75 off your purchase. This is a great deal, and we're offering exclusively for you, the listeners of the Locked On Eagles podcast. So go to nordictrack.com/lockdown if you want to save $75 off your order. We thank Nordic Track for sponsoring the podcast today. All right, I'm ready to get this going. Let's get into some stock ups and stock down. The way we're going to do this is stock up player that has really impressed in that week of practice. Then we will go with a stock down, and we'll keep doing that until we reach our four players for each. So just for future reference, because we're going to be doing this every week up until the regular season, that's how this show is going to go. I want to start with stock up and that is someone that's impressing in his second year, his second training camp. It's wide receiver Shelton Gibson. He is a former sixth-round pick last year out of West Virginia. Yes, I just played a Mario mushroom sound effect for Stock Up. It is cheesy, but it is effective, and I love it. So Shelton Gibson really has been an impressive player for the Eagles so far in the three practices they have, and he had a strong spring. You know, OTAs and minicamps, he impressed as well. Doug Peterson even mentioned him when talking about who has really stood out so far. He mentioned Shelton Gibson, saying he's just playing more comfortable and reacting. And that's part of it's part of what Nelson Aguilar really improved upon this year, is when he finally got that confidence, when he started understanding his route running more, he had confidence in his hands and his technique. He could start using that speed that we saw at USC and just playing it, you know, explosive and comfortable. And that's, we're kind of seeing the same evolution here with Shelton Gibson. And he is a player with a lot of talent, a lot of explosive ability. But last year, it just seemed like he was in his own head. He just wasn't comfortable in the offense. And he was just an extremely raw prospect. And we're not seeing that this year so far with Gibson. He has made some incredible plays and he's improved drastically. And it's caught the eye of Doug Peterson, who has, you know, the Eagles have brought in receivers to compete with Gibson, to push him. The top four are pretty much set. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Wallace, and Nelson Aguilar are going to be your three. Matt Collins has looked really good as well, so he's probably your four that's going to rotate with Mike Wallace a lot of the time. But, you know, they brought in Marcus Wheaton. Greg Ward Jr. is a player Peterson really likes and the offense likes. The Eagles signed Kamar Aiken, who has played a lot in the NFL as a veteran. So they are pushing Shelton Gibson, but right now he is stepping up to the challenge. And I think he's going to make this roster and he's actually going to play a significant role, whether it's on special teams and as a rotational player on offense. I think he's going to be an interesting player to watch throughout the summer and into the preseason. That's going to be the time, really, we'll see if he makes his money. But he's made some amazing plays so far to kind of hold off Marcus Wheaton and those guys at the receiving core, because I don't know, I think the Eagles will probably end up keeping five or six receivers. So he's got to convince the guy, you know, the team that I'm better than Greg Ward Jr. and Wheaton. And I think he's going to end up sticking as probably the fifth receiver on the roster. And then maybe if the Eagles decide to keep a sixth, they might go with a Greg Ward Jr. or a Kamar Aiken or someone. But I think Shelton Gibson is making this roster, and not just making the roster, but he's going to play, whether it's on special teams or offense. I think he's going to get snaps. The Eagles really like him. They've liked him since he was at West Virginia. It was pretty obvious throughout the draft process. The one amazing play he made, actually, yeah, in yesterday's practice, was he was covered by both Ronald Darby and Malcolm Jenkins, arguably the two best players in the Eagles secondary. And there was a contested throw up the field for, it was around 40 yards down the field. Shelton Gibson, it was a play that beat reporters pretty much described as, you had to believe it to see it, out jumped both Jenkins and Darby, contested by both players. He jumps in midair and brings down the football with a spectacular catch. So Gibson was known for big plays at West Virginia, and he is making them at training camp so far. So, you know, they've been trying to get him moving around the offense. They're trying to get him in open space because, yes, he's a burner on offense, but he also is incredible when it comes to catching and running after the pass. You know, his run after the catch ability is a strong suit of his. He runs angry. I say it all the time when I'm talking about this player, but it's true. The tenacity and the intensity that he runs with is so similar to that of Nelson Aguilar. That's, Aguilar probably runs the hardest of any, outside of, you know, Jay Ajayi probably, outside of anyone on this offense. And Gibson reminds me a lot of Aguilar with, when it comes to the path that he's taken so far in the NFL. So Shelton Gibson, your stock is up. Let's move on to stock down, and we stay on the offensive side. Another young player, it's guard slash center Isaac Simalo. Isaac Simalo has struggled so far throughout the first couple of practices. As a center, they moved him over there. Remember last year, he was the clear-cut starting left guard. Stefan Wisniewski was a backup, and Simalo ended up losing his job, and his stock has pretty much been trending downward ever since getting benched. You know, he was a reserve. He would sometimes play as that sixth offensive lineman. He would basically line up as a tight end in power running situations last year, so he did still get playing time. But this year, they've been giving him more snaps as the center, hopefully to be Jason Kelce's backup. But he has been snapping passes, you know, the ball over Carson Wentz's head, over Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld. He struggled with getting his snaps down. Jeff Stoutland even talked about it. And he has not had a great camp so far. And You know, that's a problem considering the Eagles are really going to rely on him when it comes to offensive line depth, which they're going to need. They've battled injuries so far in the past. Jason Peters, I know Halapuli Vaati Vaitai is that replacement, but Jason Kelce has had injuries in the past. Wisniewski is older. You know, you never know. Brandon Brooks was out of the lineup a lot of the time in 2016 because of his anxiety issues, which isn't, you know, an injury per se, but the offensive line has shuffled around. So Isaac Samalo's got to be ready, and hopefully he can improve because he might be a surprise cut if he can't get it going for the rest of the summer. So Isaac Samalo stock is down right now, and it's trending downward as the Eagles try to get him going as potentially the backup center. We continue on the offensive side of the football. Stock up. This is a rookie offensive tackle out of TCU, the big boy himself. It's Matt Pryor. Matt Pryor has been talked about a lot after yesterday's practice. He had a really impressive couple days in the first week of training camp, and that is huge for the Eagles' offensive line depth because, again, if Samalo is struggling, I don't think him and Chance Warmack are as good as the Eagles think. The Eagles really like Samalo and Warmack. You know, they've invested in both of them. They're young players that still have upside. But Matt Pryor is someone that should make those two nervous because not only has he been playing really good at tackle, you know, he actually ended up putting Michael Bennett on the ground yesterday, which is very impressive considering Bennett's track record, the fact that a rookie put him down. Stoutland talked about how, too, Pryor's been playing at guard. You know, they've been using him at both positions, and that's an impressive feat that Pryor is excelling at both because Stoutland even said his technique for teaching interior offensive linemen and tackles is a different mentality, and it's a different style. So Pryor, as a rookie, is trying to learn both positions at the same time, and it's a great thing to do if you're Pryor because showing that versatility is going to keep you on this 53-man roster because, you know, if the Eagles suffer two injuries, say Jason Peters, knock on wood, that he doesn't go down, and Brandon Brooks were to get hurt, suddenly if Halapuli Vaati Vaitai has to play at tackle, the Eagles need a guard, and maybe they consider Pryor over Chance Warmack. Or if godforsaken Lane Johnson and Jason Peters both went down, Big V's got to play one of those positions, but then it looks like right now Pryor might be the next man up as a rookie because they really don't have any other options right now when it comes to backup tackles. Taylor Hart is on the roster right now, and Meladia, the other rookie, but he is so raw when it comes to just playing football. So Matt Pryor is a really promising prospect right now for the Eagles, and it's huge because right now, again, they have Samalo and Warmack are their big two reserves on the line. But if you can add a third guy in Pryor that can play both guard and rook in tackle, in case one of these two guys or both struggle if they have to go into the lineup, having Pryor there is awesome considering that the Eagles' offensive line depth over the past few years has been weaker. So Matt Pryor, the offensive lineman, rookie out of TCU, his stock is up after week one of training camp. Stock down has been difficult for me. I feel like a lot of players have been having good camp practices so far. There haven't been a whole lot of players struggling. So this is an interesting wrinkle to my stock down part of this show. But stock down, I'm going to say quarterback Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP himself. And it's nothing that he did. So Nick Foles has looked just fine so far in practice. He has been accurate. He's been hitting some deep passes. He's played with the first team a lot of the time in 11-on-11s, considering the Eagles are trying to ease in Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz looks like he's going to play week one. He looks healthy. He's running around in the pocket. He's making plays down the field. It doesn't look like that knee is holding him back at all, which is going to hurt Nick Foles' stock. That's going to result in Foles going back to the bench, barring an injury. God, knock on wood. Don't want that to happen again for Carson Wentz. But unless there was an injury, if Carson Wentz plays week one, he's not looking back. That's his job. Nick Foles is not going to play unless he absolutely had to, if it was a necessity. And that's why I put him in stock down here, because if he played, if say he Carson Wentz, the Eagles just didn't think he was ready, and maybe they sent him out the first couple of weeks of the season, say Nick Foles goes out there and takes down the Atlanta Falcons and looks really good doing it, maybe leads the Eagles to 2-0 or you know, wins the first couple games of the season, and he plays well doing it, his stock would have went up even more, making other teams, because remember, it would be pretty much him auditioning for a starting job in 2019. it would make teams feel more comfortable about making him their starter down the road. It would make them feel more comfortable about giving him a big deal in free agency. Because again, I love Nick Foles. The Eagles are indebted to him forever for what he did. He had one of the most historic playoff performances of all time, but it was really just two amazing games. Even in the Falcons game in the divisional round, he struggled the entire first half. The second half, he was very efficient, but it was really two games. So teams are hesitant to, first off, give the Eagles what they wanted for Foles in a trade. And even when he hits the open market next year, if he buys out himself to enter free agency with the Eagles contract, teams are going to have to convince themselves that this guy is who he was with the Eagles in 2013 and in 2017, and not the product of the Rams offense in 2015, the way he ended up getting benched for Case Keenum, the inaccurate quarterback he was in 2014, the second year under Chip Kelly. Teams want to know, can this guy be a consistent starter for us? Can we rely on him to hand the keys over to the franchise? And if he doesn't end up playing at all this year, it's going to be an interesting situation to see what type of attention he commands in the open market next year. So his stock is down because of how good Wentz looks. If Foles could have started and it's still open, we don't know exactly when Carson Wentz is going to play. But if Nick Foles ended up playing the first couple weeks of the season, looked good, beat some good teams, including the Falcons in week one, I think it would make other teams very, very comfortable with paying Nick Foles in 2019. So Nick Foles' stock is down, not based on anything he has done, but just because of how far along Carson Wentz right now is in his rehab. Stock up. We head to the defensive side. It's Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills, with so much depth and talent everywhere at the cornerback position, I feel like everybody's kind of just waiting for Mills to cede over a spot and end up moving to the hybrid safety role. You know, even if he ends up going into the slot, I don't see it as a demotion, because the slot cornerback position is just as important as outside corners with the way the NFL is moving so far, with, you know, elite receivers playing in the slot a lot of the time in the NFL right now. So even if he moves there, I don't think it's a demotion, but he has played so good so far in training camp. He's been locked down, especially with his technique and his route recognition. Nelson Aguilar actually even pointed it out in his one-on-one with Chris McPherson on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. So, again, Mills has had an impressive offseason, and he continues to just get better every year. And I know the film guys don't really like him that much, the analytics guys, but the coaching staff loves Jalen Mills. He's gotten better every single year. He's a leader in this locker room. He's coming off one of the most elite performances a corner has had in the playoffs in a long time. You know, I think he allowed only 61 receiving yards in the three games from receivers that he was covering when it comes to man coverage, which is just elite for a number one lockdown corner. So, and Jalen Mills is coming off that, and he has looked like that same player so far in the summer. So the Eagles seem, you know, I thought eventually Mills was going to get looks in the slot and was going to end up being the slot corner, because I think Sidney Jones is going to be the best corner on this team eventually. Darby's not moving into the slot. They like him on the outside. So eventually I thought they're going to move Mills in. When they described their slot corner, a lot of the time it sounded like Jalen Mills. But Sidney Jones has been getting the majority of the work as the first team slot corner, actually rotating with Devontae Bosby. Jalen Mills has stayed as one of the outside corners. Him and Ronald Darby have not moved from that spot in the first team defense. So it looks like Jones is probably going to be in the slot, and Jalen Mills for another year is going to continue to prove critics wrong and end up being a starting outside corner for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is just an awesome story considering he was a 7th-round pick. No one expected a lot from this guy, and here he is holding off an elite prospect like Sidney Jones, and honestly looking just as good, if not better, than Ronald Darby, who it seems like is the clear consensus he is a better player than Jalen Mills, and I don't see that right now. I think Jalen Mills is, right now, not in the future, Jalen Mills is the best corner on this Eagles roster so far. His stock is up. Stock down, we go to another offensive lineman I mentioned earlier, and it's offensive guard Chance Warmack. Peterson called him out yesterday, actually, on one of the first plays of practice. He screamed out, "I need a right guard," and pulled Warmack from the drill because Warmack was struggling. Again, the Eagles' offensive line depth really needs Matt Pryor to step up if Warmack's not going to do it, if Isaac Samalo's not going to do it. The Eagles really like Chance Warmack. He was a former top 10 pick out of Alabama. He has talent. He's a Stoutland guy. But he has struggled. He struggled last year in the regular season. He struggled so far throughout the summer. The Eagles really need this guy to have a bounce back season. They need him to come along here in training camp and prove that he can be relied upon if they need to make a change at the guard position or if injuries happen. Because I know stock up was Matt Pryor was in that category, and I think he's going to be a good player, but he's a rookie low round pick that, yeah, he's had a couple good days of practice, but again, contact drills have not even happened yet. You know, tomorrow is really when we're going to start seeing who stands out on the offensive line, when Pryor has to go up against Michael Bennett in pads, and when Brandon Graham's healthy, and Derek Barnett, hell, even Josh Sweat. That's when it really happens. And if Pryor ends up, you know, you can't rely on just Pryor. And Sumalo's struggling right now. Warmack has got to step up to make this Eagles team feel comfortable about their offensive line depth. Or maybe they end up going out there and trying to make a trade, moving some of their other depth, I don't know, a receiver or a running back or a corner, to try to end up getting better offensive line depth. The opportunity is there for the taking for all these young offensive linemen. And like Isaac Sumalo, Chance Warmack has got to grasp it. And right now, it doesn't look like that is the case. So Chance Warmack's stock is down in the first week of Eagles training camp. One more stock up, and it is defensive end rookie out of Florida State, Josh Sweat. This is a guy that's actually becoming a fan favorite for me. I love explosive, fast defensive ends. You know, those kind of pass rushers. I appreciate the Derek Barnetts of the world that more go on technique. His bend is incredible. It's probably the best on the team when we're talking about Barnett. But I'm a guy that loves athleticism and explosiveness and just pure raw talent and just trying to, you know, pretty much mold that into an elite player. And I feel like that's what Josh Sweat is. And like Elliot Shore Park said, Sweat put on 15 pounds of muscle. He looks like a monster. I don't know if I like him necessarily wearing 75. I don't know. It just doesn't look like a I would like him in the 90s. I think 99 would be really cool for Josh Sweat. But nonetheless, I digress. He's been getting second-team snaps already with the defense, and multiple times he's shown that explosive first step off the edge, getting to the quarterback. He even actually bumped Carson Wentz in 11-on-11s the other day, and he knocked down a Nate Sudfeld pass. He got a sack on Callahan. And this isn't even without contact going on. So, of course, there's still room for improvement for Josh Sweat. He's still got to prove that he can do it in live action. But he's a player, guys, I'm really, really watching in the preseason and in training camp. And you should be watching him as well. Because, like, who was it? I think it was, yeah, Zach Blatt from the NJ.com. I like the tweet he put out about Sweat. If the Eagles can unlock Josh Sweat's potential, they legit got a first-round talent in the fourth round. Dudes his size aren't supposed to be able to move like that. Very intrigued by his future here. And you heard me and Johnny Page. If you didn't, go back on LockedOnEagles.com or on Apple Podcasts, any podcast app. We previewed the defensive line, and we talked about Josh Sweat and how his role with the Eagles, sooner rather than later, is going to be a big one, considering the uncertainty. I know this year they're absolutely loaded at the position. He'll end up being the fifth defensive end. But I still think he's going to play this year. You know, when they have to rotate guys, when Michael Bennett goes inside on third downs and say they want to rest Chris Long or Brandon Graham, or maybe if there's a time they need to rest two players, Josh Sweat might end up coming in across from a Derek Barnett or a Brandon Graham, you know, because the other guys are so used to playing on the left side. Derek Barnett's really the only guy that played a lot of right defensive end last year. Maybe if they're resting Barnett, they keep Chris Long on the sideline sometimes, and they end up choosing Josh Sweat to come in. I think he's going to play this year, and Brandon Graham needs a contract next year. The Eagles might end up cutting Michael Bennett. Who knows if Chris Long's going to be with the team after 2018. Sooner rather than later, Josh Sweat's going to be a main piece in this rotation that Jim Schwartz loves to have in his defensive ends. And, man, I'm so excited for his potential, and hopefully he can get his counter moves improved. If the first step doesn't work, getting around that with more moves. And that's something young defensive ends always have to continue to grow with. Derek Barnett is another person that has to do that because his first step is deadly. So if he can just, again, like, you know, Zach Blatt said, if they can just unlock his full potential, Michael Bennett even said how much potential this guy has, the Eagles might have found an absolute steal in the fourth round. So Josh Sweat, defensive end, his stock is up after the first week of training camp. We wrap up our stock up, stock down section with a final stock down. And that is tight end Billy Brown, a player in my tight end preview I actually picked to make the roster over Richard Rodgers. I think, and I'm sticking by that, I think when, you know, the preseason starts, he's got to make plays down the field as a pass catcher. He was a former wide receiver, so he has that going for him. But he hasn't really stood out as a blocker or as a receiving tight end so far in camp. And Richard Rodgers actually had a pretty good week. He caught a lot of passes in practice during team drills and in one-on-ones. Richard Rodgers showed he has some strong hands. So I still think Billy Brown has a chance to crack this 53-man roster. But he's got to step up. And he's got to show that he can do it all, because that's what you want to have in your third tight end, is that versatility that a player like Trey Burton had and Brent Celek had as well. You're not going to be a consistent player, but and he's got to make his mark on the special team side as well. That's a place that Trey Burton was very strong in from the Chip Kelly days up until the Doug Peterson days. So Billy Brown so far did not have the best start to training camp in week one, but we'll see if he can improve upon that and push Richard Rodgers for that third tight end spot, because the Eagles are not keeping more than three tight ends. So Billy Brown's stock is down. I'm going to milk these Mario sound effects all summer long, people. I'm going to go with it. So I'm embracing it. So that was our stock up, stock down edition. A few honorable mentions. Wide receiver Nelson Agholor has had a great start to camp. Looked like the Eagles' most explosive wide receiver so far, and just looks so confident, and it's just so awesome to see him continue to grow as a receiver. And then rookie tight end Dallas Goedert's been making some real plays down the field, and I expect those guys to be huge contributors on offense. So I kept them off the list and put some more under the radar type players that have been making a name for themselves in the start of the training camp so far. But honorable mentions: wide receiver Nelson Agholor and Dallas Goedert. On the offensive side, stock down, honorable mention, Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback, who had to end up watching film on Carson Wentz in order for the Cowboys to teach him how to be more aggressive, which has to be absolutely degrading for him and so enjoyable for us Eagles fans. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'll be back tomorrow to continue our coverage of training camp as the live hitting officially starts. It's an exciting time to be an Eagles fan and to be a football fan, because it's right around the corner. Training camp is officially underway and preseason is coming up in just a week, and I'm excited to be covering it for you all season long right here on Locked On Eagles. Please subscribe to us, leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, really appreciate it, and make sure you follow me on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. Thank you all for listening, and let's go Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-